Thank you, Lindsay. Good morning, Missio. How's everybody doing today? Good. Okay, awesome. Good. Good morning. If you're a guest with us this morning, my name's Dominic, and I'm really grateful that you're here with us this morning, whether that's in the room or on Zoom. Today, we are having what we call our Family Covenant Expression. And so there's kind of two aspects to this. Legally, by our bylaws, and because we're a nonprofit in Oregon, we have to do an annual business meeting, okay? So that's one side that's practical. Can I get a hand for that? Okay, just warm up. Dude, there's some good excitement in that. On the other hand, a family covenant meeting, it's an opportunity for us to sit and just remember God's goodness and God's faithfulness to us over this last year. And so we've done this every year, and different years we've done it at different times. In the last couple of years, we did it kind of on a Friday or a Saturday night. And what we heard, the feedback was, man, I wish you had done it on a Sunday morning because I couldn't make it Friday or Saturday night. And since sometimes I'd repeat stuff on the Sunday morning. And so kind of from the leadership and just a decision was to say, we're going to do it this morning. We're going to do it on a Sunday morning so that we can do it together here, allow kids to be in kids ministry, us to be here, and to celebrate together. And as we do this, I just want to give us a reminder that one of the reasons why we call even our Sunday gathering, our Sunday expression, is because from the very beginning of our church, when we were getting together to gather, we had first gathered in missional communities. And as missional communities were gathering in different parts throughout the city, we realized, man, we need to get our missional communities together, though, to have a time of connecting on a Sunday. And we say, we don't want to just call it a service, because there's a part of the word service where it makes you think you're just going to come and sit and be served, right? But we believe that words are really intentional and words create culture. And so we said, we're going to call it an expression, because when we come together on Sunday, what we're going to be doing is expressing together through the word, through worship, through our time together, we're going to be expressing the goodness of God and what he's already doing throughout our lives day to day, not just on Sunday morning, because he's a good God that's present and alive with us every single day, right? So this morning, this is an expression, and we are going to be looking at the word. We're going to be looking at some videos and some pictures. We're going to be connecting afterwards with some Pip's Donuts and chai. But this morning, as we do all of these things and looking back at this last year, we're going to be remembering together and expressing together the goodness of God. And so I just want you to prepare your heart and your mind for that, that though this morning will be a bit different than a typical kind of time in the word, this is still a time of key remembering and expressing God's love and his faithfulness and his goodness to us. Amen? Awesome. So yeah, part of the reason why we're doing this now too is that our fiscal year runs every year from July to June. And so as we're in June and we're coming to the end of our fiscal year, this is the time that we do our celebration. But every year and every day and every time we come together, we say this. We say that Missio exists to be an authentic community that makes Jesus fully known so that others may come to fully know him. And if you've been here at Missio as well, hopefully you know our core rhythms, our core values. And our core values are this. Our core values are love, authenticity, community, missional living, and celebration. And yeah, this morning, the goal is that we're going to celebrate how we've followed Jesus. We have followed Jesus together, living out these values, and just remember and highlight the things that God has done over this last year. So to help us in that, because there's a lot to unpack, but to help us in that, I want to have you watch a quick video with me. It's about 3 to 4 minutes, and let's just do that, okay? And then we'll go.
You gave a heavenly breath, and now it's air in our chest. That's why we're singing it back to you. For every battle you've won, for everything that you've done, and everything that you're gonna do. See too much to ever doubt it. That's why we came, to lift your name, to not ashamed. Let your glory be heard until it covers the earth. Don't wanna wait for the rocks to shout.
We got a reason to praise. This is the song of the saved, and no, we ain't gonna turn it down.
Every day we got a reason. This church ain't only on the weekend. Yeah, when I get that kind of feeling, all I wanna do, all we wanna do is
glorify your name.
Came here to glorify
your name.
Came here to
It's really beautiful. There's so many things that were captured in that, and there's actually a lot of things that weren't, and we'll talk about those. But honestly, as I stand up here and think about, just remembering and celebrating God's faithfulness and our faithfulness and seeking Him and following Him and trying to live out the rhythms of Jesus, upward, inward, and outward, I'm really proud of us as a community. Really proud because we've lived out the vision. We've lived out the rhythms of the life of Jesus. We always talk about living upward in communion with God. Inward in community with one another and outward on mission to the world, and we've done that in various ways, again, that we're going to talk about, and we've lived the core values. And I think about last year this time, it was a Friday night, I think, it was June 10th, I stood up here and I cast a vision for us based upon a strategic priority that I had given our staff team, and that strategic priority was this. It was a key question of how are we discipling and equipping people to be holistic and resilient followers of Jesus. We'd shared a vision last year about what it means for us to create a hope zone. Last year was our first year of owning this property and being stewards of it. And we talked about what does it look like for us to create here a hope zone and everywhere that we are in our missional communities, anywhere we go, to be a people who are creating there in that space because we carry the presence of God with us, a hope zone, a place where people are interacting with and encounter the hope, the help, and the healing and a sense of home in Jesus Christ. And so it's beautiful to look at that video. It's amazing to think about the ways we've done that, and just thank you. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for leaning into that vision. I want to, as we do this, I want to read some of the portions of Scripture again that I had presented before we talk about some of these key things. Ephesians 4 is a key place that I had taken us last year. It's one of the passages in verses 4 through 7. It reads and it says, therefore there's one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And so Paul's painting this picture of the oneness of the body and yet the uniqueness because of the various gifts that are here. But all of us in our uniqueness and our varying gifts and skills and talents and all those things are invited to be one together in hope and faith and love, being baptized, proclaiming Christ, and living in this spirit of hope together. And he goes on to say, and then he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood or personhood, and to the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ, so that we are no longer children tossed to and fro by the waves, being carried by every wind of doctrine and human cunning, or the craftiness of the deceitful schemes of the world. But rather, we learn to speak the truth in love, and we grow up together in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, for whom the body is joined together and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. And each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And we talked last year about that, the key elements of faith, hope, unity in Christ, and each of us growing in Christ's likeness. That's not going to look exactly the same for all of us, right? We're at different stages and phases of our journey, and God's made us uniquely, but that's the focus of moving together. Unity isn't everybody doing all the same thing, but it's everybody being united in a common goal. And we talked about the growth and the maturity in Christ together. We also talked about then the unity of the faith and the maturity under the lordship of Jesus, and how when we do that, what happens is you begin to see the tangible impact of the love of God here within the body of Christ and outside the walls of the church. And again, I think it's really beautiful, and I'm proud to say that we've lived into that. We've leaned into that. It's been a blessing. It's been a gift to do that together. And yet, as we have made some steps, we're not there yet. Is that okay for us to say together? We've made some great steps of faith this last year, but we're not there yet, right? We're still in process. But by the grace of God, we continue on this journey together. We talked about last year then too, growing again, resilient disciples who live by faith in Jesus and are becoming who is God created us to be. I presented this vision of walking together in the unity of the love of Jesus and us understanding two key things, that we're an integral part of one another's restoration and wholeness, right? None of us is called to live or walk alone. We were created for community and to walk in community. And we said, you know, we're not going to let anybody step in here and not experience connection. We're not going to let people step in here and not experience community, people caring for them, loving them. Again, creating hope that people can step into. But also, go back to the last one for me. But also, we have to understand that we're an integral part of God's plan for restoration and wholeness in the world. That doesn't just stop here inside these walls or inside the walls of a home of a missional community or inside the walls of youth, anything like that. But it's for inside, but ultimately it's to go outside as well, to be an integral part of God's plan for restoration and wholeness in the world. And again, creating that hope zone, a place of hope, help, healing, and home. And I just want to, that video again showed a lot of beautiful things. I love Amber's work. I'm so grateful for the work she's done to put that over this last year. That's been a key way we've gotten to celebrate together is Amber's work in that. But here's some of the things that aren't in that video. A couple of things that aren't shown in those videos or in that video is that every time we've gathered, you guys, I can think of where there's been people of peace who have stepped into those places in those gatherings. And they don't necessarily get to show up in the video. Because it's not like we're going to walk up to a visitor and say, hey, like, you know what I'm saying? It's awkward. But they're here. They're among us. I think of your missional community functions. How many oftentimes I hear stories of what you guys are doing in your MCs. We don't have any pictures of that were shown. But throughout this year, there were MCs all throughout this city living life together, sharing life together, and sharing hope with the world. I think of our safe families hosting and all the support that's happened. There's no pictures of families having kids and the nitty-gritty and all the things. There's no pictures of moms on walks doing mentorship. We don't have pictures of the mommy mentor gathering that we hosted downstairs where 30 women were encouraged in their growth as moms because we had mentors that came from around the city to meet in our space to do that. We don't have pictures of the parenting seminar of how to talk to your kids about sex. We don't have pictures of the spiritual parenting seminar, the marriage encouragement seminar, Missio youth events. We don't have pictures of the fun and the guys getting in the scriptures together and all the things that the students are doing. We don't have pictures, actually, of an active Missio Kids class in there. That every Sunday, I don't know if you guys are parents, if you got the email yesterday, Leslie told us there's 81 unique kids that step in every single week, or potentially every single week, into that space back there to be reminded that they are loved by God, He wants to be in relationship with them, and He has a unique purpose for their life and being invited into a relationship with Him. We don't have pictures of an active Missio Kids classroom. For safety reasons, okay? We don't have a picture of the play groups. We don't have a picture of the walks. We don't have a picture of the coffee meetings, the lunches, the prayer sessions, the phone calls, the texts, the way that people are reaching out to one another and sharing life and doing life united in the hope of Jesus for the sake of the flourishing of our community and the outside world. We don't have pictures of that. We don't have pictures of the way that each and every single day you guys go off to work, you go off to school, you go off to recreate, and in those places where you are, when you are following Jesus by faith, we don't have pictures of you standing there in your cubicle and having the conversations with coworkers. We don't have pictures of you standing up there leading a meeting and doing it with integrity and with passion and being a necessary presence of gospel light in your place of work. Or the walks in your community, in your neighborhoods, and you pray for your neighbors. You pray for things that we don't have pictures of that. But that's all happening. That's all things we get to celebrate. And I'm really proud that we get to celebrate that together this morning. Because another key part of the vision that I painted for you last year to launch this year was looking at the Great Commission in Matthew. In Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, this is Jesus after he's resurrected and he's called the disciples to himself. And he says this, he says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted." And again, let's just pause there for a second. Put that slide back if you would for a minute. How many disciples did Jesus start with? 12. How many did it say were there? We know what happened to the one, right? He took his eyes off Jesus. He put his hope somewhere else, right? He said, I'm going to do life my own way. But there was 11 who persisted, who were resilient in their faith as disciples that we've been talking about. And even those 11, it says, when they came and they're standing in this place with the resurrected Jesus, after they'd lived with him for 3 years, they'd seen everything he'd done, they'd seen him die, they'd seen him resurrect, they've seen him actually present, alive and resurrected them for 40 days. Here he calls them to himself, and it says what? They worshiped, but some what? Some doubted. They were in process, right? And that's okay. Again, that paints the picture for us. It's okay. We're in process, but we're keeping Jesus as our hope. And so let's go to the next slide. And it says, and Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus knew where they were in their journey. Jesus knew there was doubts. Jesus knew there was areas of growth. Jesus knew they were still in process. And so what he did was promise them one thing. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. The promise of his presence, his necessary presence for his disciples, so that his disciples could go out into the world and be a necessary presence in a world that needs hope, that needs help, that needs healing, and needs to know that they have a home within the body of Christ, within the church, because they have a home within the love of God. And we've lived that out. It's been beautiful. I'm so thankful. Now, I want to give us some practical numbers. And some of you, I acknowledge this morning, you're going to hear these numbers and go, oh my gosh, why are we talking about these numbers? And this is like boring or painful. Others of you are going to say, those numbers aren't nitty-gritty enough for me. I wish you would dig down more. And so I'm prepared that I'm both, you know, if you put those two together, I'm basically going to disappoint everybody here this morning, and that's okay. I'm standing here in my identity and the love of Jesus. But I think it's important that we talk about some of these numbers and just, again, paint the picture of where we've been, the impact, and how it plays out, okay? First number I want to put up here, 314. This year, Kelly this week and I sat down in our database. We have this database of people, and that's just in emails and all that stuff, right? 314 people, unique people, have been exposed to the love of God and invited into gospel community through our expressions, through our Sunday gatherings. People that are not counted in this, though, like if somebody stepped into our one meal packing day, like my son invited his best friend and his sister and his mom, they had never stepped into a church before. I think I told you guys that story. They were here with us. At one meal, we know we had about 8 or 10 different unique groups of people that aren't part of our community that stepped in to serve with us that day. And had all kinds of questions about why would you do this? What does the church do? I love the questions that I was getting from those two little kids, my son's friends that stepped in. They're not counted in that number. Again, people that were part of Missio in the Park, they're not in the number. But we had this year 314 unique people in this calendar year that stepped in and were exposed to the love of God and invited into gospel community. Pretty cool. Thank you for being inviters. Thank you for being hospitable. Thank you for, again, thank you for holding on to the hope of Jesus, and thank you for wanting to share that hope with other people. That's a beautiful thing. Here's another really fun number about that. Of those 314, 42% were kids under the age of 18. That's 132 kids. The reason why I'm sharing that, and the reason why I think that's so beautiful and exciting is two things. One, we're living in a culture where they're saying that what? Like the next generation is the nuns, right? They're leaving the church. They're walking away from church. They don't want anything to do with faith, all this stuff, right? They're into spirituality, but not the church, not Jesus. We've had 132 unique kids step into our space, again, just that we can count like through a Sunday gathering expression and those sorts of things, come in and be exposed to the love of God and be invited into gospel community. The other thing that's really encouraging about that is that last year I gave us a specific word as well about the importance of us investing in the next generation, of us being very intentional to transform that space, us being very intentional to up our game and being present with our kids and volunteering and engaging in different spaces, and we've done that pretty well. So thank you for doing that, because we've had an impact on 132 different kids stepping in. I want to continue to talk about the next generation for a second, because as we took those numbers, 314 unique people stepped in, 244 are our regular, either family covenant members or regular attenders. And the percentage of people in our community that are like part of the family covenant or regular attenders that are under the age of 18 is 40%. 40%. That's 40% of our community. Again, every time that they step into a space, they're being reminded of God's love and they're being invited into relationship with Jesus. It's pretty beautiful. It's a great chance to have an impact of hope and gospel presence in the next generation. And I don't want us to miss that. Because part of the reason why we actually were entrusted and given this space is that this was a church years ago that probably, in Good Shepherd, that could have stood here probably and said similar things, right? But over time, over their journey, they forgot to have impact, or they lost their impact in the next generation. And so this place at some point went through a journey where they turned inward. They lost their impact outward, and they lost their impact on the next generation. And I want to just remind us of that, again, that as we talk about being a hope zone, it's not just for one another. Yes, it is, but it's also for the world. It's for our neighbors, and it's for the next generation that's growing up in a world that needs a clear declaration and embodiment of hope and of the truth that you are loved, that you are welcomed, that you are cared for, and that God knows you, He loves you, and He wants to be in personal relationship with you. We have a chance to do that every week and in all the spaces we gather with 40% of the people in our community, and then the impact that they get to go to have. Pretty cool? See, I told you I'd disappoint you guys with some of these numbers. You're like, with that said, I want to give a couple of thank yous, again, because I talked clearly about Next Generation last year. Tim Betcher and his team, he's put together a great Missio youth team over the last year. Emily, Jason, Osdale, Aaron, Shinji, Jaden, any parents that have contributed and been a part of that. Matt, thank you all so much for investing in the youth. Thank you for creating space, again, where they are known and they are loved and they are cared for. Missio Kids, Leslie's done a great job over this last year with a lead team of Milo, Johanna, Angie, Susie Bauer. Thank you so much for all that you have done, all that you have poured in, for those that volunteer there regularly. I want to show again just a real quick silent video snapshot. This is what our Missio room used to look like. This is what it looks like now. We got new windows, new flooring, this was the old kitchen. I mean, it didn't look like that until the storm happened. It got ripped up. But this is when we had to renovate it. And this is now the new kitchen. So, Michael and Elizabeth Ross, thank you so much. Birch Rubens, Jeremy and Susie Bauer, the Arnold MC, thank you all so much that had a play in that. The renovation of that space over there, some of it was contractors with new windows and that sort of thing. But a lot of it was done in-house here. And thank you guys again for stepping up and going, yeah, we believe that the youth that are here, the kids that are here, yes, they are the future of the church, but they're also the present of our church. They're 40% of the present of our church that we are going to invest in and we're going to love. And again, we're going to show them the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they experience it and can live it out. So thank you for that. Given that piece, I want to continue to talk about kind of volunteer engagement. Volunteer engagement for us as adults, I got some good numbers. We as a community, for those that call Missio home, either through the family covenant or through regular attendance, 55% of our adults are engaged in serving in some way, shape, or form. It's pretty good. I talk to some churches and they're like, yeah, we got that darn 20-80 thing going on. 20% of the church is doing 80% of the work. We've always said we're not going to allow that to happen here, right? This is a family. This is a body. We're going to do that together. So that 55% is encouraging. It's really good. I want us to be proud of that. But on the other hand, I also want to be honest and clear to say, if I worked out just kind of half of my body, one half of me would look pretty funny, right? And the other half would look equally funny, right? There's a little bit of an imbalance. And my body would not function at its full optimal performance that it was designed or created for whatever purpose I'm trying to fulfill. You guys track with me? So we've got a little more over half of our adult population that's saying, yeah, I'm here. I'm invested, I get it, I understand my gifts, skills, and talents, I understand this vision of creating a hope zone together, and I'm in. And we've got another half that's saying, I'm here, and you maybe do view this more as a service than more of an expression of engagement in expressing the gospel. And so again, there's different times, different seasons, different reasons for that. But my invitation would be to say, if you call Missio home, and this is the place where you're saying, yes, I want to be a part of that vision of creating hope here for one another and for this world, I want to invite you to consider prayerfully, where is God asking you to invest your time, skills, and talents for the sake of fulfilling the vision together? Amen? Flip the next one for me. This is pretty encouraging. 55% adult engagement, 65% youth volunteer engagement. And again, here's why that's really cool. Because there's stats and things that show that youth that are engaged in serving in their church, there's a greater stickiness to their faith. There's a couple things that's happening. It's probably because they're seeing it modeled for them by their parents. So they see their parents not just believing the gospel, but living out the gospel, and they're being invited to do that with them. But also it says there's a more greater likelihood that as they go off to college, as they go off beyond into life, that again, their faith is going to be more sticky. There's greater traction because they were connected. They understood at a young age they are part of the body of Christ, and they continue to be part of the body of Christ. So Missio Youth in here, I see a handful of you, and we got a couple up in the balcony today. Thank you. You guys are awesome, and I'm so glad that what you're seeing modeled, hopefully, is something that you're going, yeah, I want that. You're seeing Jesus in this community. You're going, I want to be a part of that. I want to stay a part of that. And so that's a beautiful thing. Thank you, Missio Youth, for stepping in and being a part of that. Another really great thing for us to engage in that's happening kind of focused internally here for a moment, MC engagement. We've got 70% of our of adults engaged in MCs. That doesn't include kids. So the kid number could be, I think it's through the roof, but 70% of our adults are engaged in MCs, which is beautiful. That wasn't the number last year. I don't remember what it was, but I remember Vicky looking at the beginning of last year and going, okay, if we're talking about building resilient disciples of Jesus, I want 80% of our community in MCs. And she had set that goal. She trained her MC leaders. We've talked about it. We're getting close. We've made progress, but we're not there yet, and that's okay. But the reason why we love and talk about MCs is because it's the true sharing of life. It's the true sharing of mission together. It's truly living in authentic community and getting to do life on life with one another, creating hope and carrying that out to the world in a tangible way. One of the really cool things as we look together to this next year is that we have an MC that's starting to birth in Southeast, and we haven't had that in a number of years, and we have an MC that's starting to birth in Northwest Portland. We haven't had that in a number of years either. So that's a beautiful thing. That's an awesome thing. It's a testament, again, to the work and the vision that Vicky's put in there, the response of our community, and just the need and the growth in the different areas. So really beautiful, really awesome. Upward, inward. I want to talk outward for a moment. I want to talk about our missional partnerships and some of the impact. Some of it was displayed in that video. Some of it wasn't. Safe Families for Children. Again, I talked about the hostings. I talked about just some of the things that go behind the scenes, unseen. But we had two baptisms on Easter Sunday. One of them is a student that's hosted by a family in Safe Families. Like, that's huge. That's beautiful. Thank you. Yeah. Neighborhood House, the Southwest Hope 5K, we had a couple pictures of that. We raised 30,614 pounds of food that goes to care for our food insecure neighbors in Southwest Portland and beyond. We also hosted again this year Neighborhood House's annual staff meeting. We did it 2 years ago, and they had, I think, 60 staff that were here. We did it this last year, and they had 110 staff that were downstairs getting trained, having a day of encouragement, a day of connection here in our space downstairs. And so that's a beautiful thing. MCCA, we've got 40 families. Majority of them are not engaged in spiritual community anywhere that I know of, as I talk to different ones, but their kids have been hosted here a number of different times. We're going to host them again this summer because there's great need through Markham as it's still shut down. Couple conversations we've had with parents and families through that, a beautiful way that we're partnering here locally for the sake of the gospel and being a hope zone for a number. Kids Around the World, as we look at kind of nations related, Kids Around the World, one meal, again, 30,000 meals, $8,000 given in that process to provide meals at community centers in different parts of the world where there's great need for gospel presence and hope. These kids that receive it not only get a meal, they also are connected to the community center where they're getting education and they're getting discipled and exposed to the story of God through the scripture in ways that are contextually appropriate for them. A beautiful thing, a beautiful impact. Envision Bangkok, we still have a partnership there with Envision Bangkok and Deeper Life Church, the work that's happening there to lead and expose some of the most elite college-age university students in Bangkok to Jesus and his love. And then Alliance Missions and Comma, we have a partnership there through our Portland Metro Network District and through the Alliance as a whole, and some of our funding goes there. And then Sowing Hope, which Tim and Leslie started a number of years ago in Burundi, Africa. And I've got a really just kind of focused update for you from that, which is really cool that I want to share. So if you want to do some pictures. This is a picture of teacher David, who's one of the key partners and disciplers down there. The next picture is of Pastor Boniface, and he's the lead worker there in Burundi that Tim and Leslie have hired and entrusted to do the work there. And this last year, on April 26th, after just a couple months ago, they had 28 people who graduated after completing an 8-month study and practicing how to sew. And what you see a picture of is that they were given their certificate, they're given a measuring tape, they're given scissors, they're given a sewing machine that that Sewing Hope ultimately gives. And they are now being empowered, these women are, to go out and start their own micro businesses to care for their families in a country that is really low in poverty. So our impact through giving and partnering with them monthly, and I know there's others that serve in different ways, that's a really beautiful thing, a really big impact. So they also have a farming project that was shared about before that's going to be launching. They found land and they're growing rice and corn as well. So again, the way that we're partnering there to make an impact. So thank you for your faithfulness in that. The last piece of kind of the update that I want to share is budget and financial numbers, okay? And again, as we look at this, I want you to look at this and understand there's actually a lot to celebrate. There's a lot of goodness here. But there's also room for growth in being united in our discipleship and in faithfulness and giving together. These are our May numbers. We don't have June yet. Obviously, we're still in that month. So our fiscal year, again, runs July to June. And so our May numbers, though, our May total giving was $25,346.69. This is just tithes and offerings. But our projected monthly May giving was $35. So our fiscal year-to-date giving, just tithe and offerings, is $409,740.63, which is great. But our projected budget was $441. So this is the third month in a row where we have not been able to meet our projected giving, and we just want to be clear and honest about that. Be aware of that. I want to connect that in a couple ways for you and paint a little bit of a picture. Now, we've got healthy savings, we've got stuff, so we're okay. Nothing's happening in that regard. But I just want to, again, paint a picture so that we understand where we've grown, but where we've got room for growth again and maturity in this and unity in this as a body of Christ. So in our giving units, last year in 2022-2023, our fiscal year, we had 72 giving units. This last year, we've had 74 giving units. So we grew by, come on, y'all. We grew by two giving units. That's good. That's beautiful. And again, a giving unit is like a single individual or a family. A family is counted as a unit. And so we've had 74 unique units give in this last year, but here's where there's room for growth. It's not regular monthly units. And so that's why we're seeing the impact in maybe even these last 3 months of where we've got giving, we've got savings, we've got some healthiness, but we've got room for growth and maturity. And these units, again, are, I would assume, are people that go, this is my home, this is my family, but there's not a consistency of regular faithful giving in that. And I just, again, I want to call us to that. I want to invite you to prayerfully think and consider and go, if this is my home, what is my act of faithful stewardship and worship through my giving to fulfill the vision of this church, okay? Connected to that, I want to look at this one, giving units by amount. I asked our bookkeeper, every couple years I do this, and I asked her to give us a breakdown. So again, this is like 38 units gave between $1 and $249 in this last year, like on a regular basis. 11 in Group B, 16 in Group C, 9 in Group D. Can I talk honest and real clear for a second? Yeah? Okay, just making sure. You guys, our church, we have a great concentration in Group A. Our greatest concentration, honestly, should be Group C. Okay? And I just want to point that out again out of love and out of a call to faithfulness and unity in giving. Because I think, again, what we might have going on a little bit is that in these units, I think what they represent is that we've got maybe, again, about 55% of the body that's giving in a sense that is faithful and that is generous and that is an expression of their worship, understanding that all that they have is from the Lord, and I'm going to respond in worship. And we might have the other half that kind of just goes, I'm going to give this on the side, okay? Our concentration should be in Group C. My family is in Group C. I know other people on our staff, their family's in Group C. I know those because we have honest discipleship conversations. The greatest concentration in our community should be Group C. And I just want to point that out. Now, again, I want to call us. I don't know who gives what other than the discipleship conversations I have. I don't get to see names. I don't get to see numbers. Again, these are given to me in units. But I was a financial planner for a good number of years. I've done enough marriage counseling where I see what people find. I know what our greatest concentration, even if every person was saying, I'm going to give 5% out of faith and gratitude, our greatest concentration should be Group C. And I want to call us to that for this next year. Because there's things that are planned. There's things that we want to do. And it's not happening if we don't give in faithfulness as part of our discipleship. Okay? So, kind of two last financial pieces. Total giving by fiscal year. And again, this is a beautiful thing. 2021, 2022, our annual giving was $368,205. We had met budget. It was awesome. 2022, 2023, we gave a total of $427,996. We made budget that year. It was awesome. This year, 2023, 2024, so far we've given $409,740 through May. And right now our fiscal year kind of to date, we're at a deficit of $23,775. So again, just want to call us to that, to faithfulness in that, to prayer in that, to looking at that. There's growth. We've had to grow because our numbers have grown, staffing needs have grown, and we purchased a building that God entrusted to us, right? And so we've got new stewardship. And so what I just want to be clear about is going, again, there's faithfulness, there's giving happening, but it's not to the maturity level of what God has fully entrusted us to, okay? And that's where our growth needs to grow. That's where our maturity needs to go, is going, we need to grow and mature into what God has given and entrusted to us. And I believe we can do it, okay? So then the last one, just as the encouragement, our accounts as of May 31, 2024, our current total checking on May 31 was $53,434. So we can cover for the month. It's great. It's beautiful. And our current total savings, $307,000. And that was one of the goals. When I became the lead 10 and a half years ago, we didn't have any savings. And the goal was to build it up so that one day we could acquire a space, knowing we would need that, but also that we'd have padding to run with and do the different projects. So we have savings, we have a current checking, but month to month, we're at a season right now where we're not hitting it, okay? Vision campaign, we still have $50,750, and that's a beautiful thing. And we've just been in communication to talk really clearly about the fact that our front lot does need to be replaced finally. Some of you are like, yeah, I've been telling you that since day one. I know. There was work we had to do. There was some recon we had to do. We've kind of got a good sense of like what's going on finally underneath it so that we could do it properly and not just piecemeal it together. So we're in conversation that hopefully this summer, timing-wise, it'll play out, and we're going to redo the lot, the piping underneath it, make sure that it stays stable and doesn't get soggy again. But that'll cost us $57,000. So that'll complete our vision campaign funding that we all gave faithfully over the years, and we've got the ability to do some more. But it's a beautiful thing. So again, overall, what I hope you hear is there's a good amount to celebrate in our finances in the community, but also room for growth, again, in unity and faithfulness. Amen? Cool. With that, yeah, I want to invite Thomas and Hannah to come up. They're going to share an update on the search team process. And then Pete Campbell is also going to come up from the board and share an update on another side of it. So would you guys welcome Hannah and Thomas to come and share?
Thank you, Dom. That was encouraging. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good morning. It's good to see everyone. We're here to give a lead pastor search update. So I'll let Thomas kick us off.
So thanks. As you can see on this timeline, we're in the fourth step of receiving applications and processing them as a search committee. As a reminder, we had produced this profile and an application form opened up the process to hear from people who feel moved to apply for this lead pastor position, having considered what we're looking for and what our community is like. And we have received 13 applications, and searched. Yes, that's yes, we can. And as a search team, we have listened to hours of sermons, looked at essays, and have been really, it's been a beautiful process, because these applicants are telling us their life stories, and we get to have a glimpse into this beautiful story of God working in their lives, and we get to imagine how that might intersect with our community. Mm-hmm. So that's been amazing. We're going to be meeting as a search team in a few days to process what we've been thinking about, praying about. And we're hoping to have sort of a short list of people to interview. And from that, have one or two people to sort of as final candidates that we can introduce to this community. So that's where we are so far.
That's great.
Thank you, Thomas. It has been such a beautiful process, but we still need your participation in it. And so I just want to thank you, because I know that we entered into a time of prayer when we finally got the job posted. So I just want to thank you guys for your faithfulness in praying and just lifting up this whole process and our team to our Father. But I do want to encourage you to continue to do that. It feels like we're at just a pivotal place of discernment. And our team we need God to work through us. We need the Holy Spirit to work in us to show us how to move forward and who to interview and all of that. And so I would say, especially this week and the coming weeks, to just lean into that. If the Father brings that to your mind and your heart, please immediately return that back to him in prayer. And then if your MCs are meeting in the next couple of weeks, I just want to invite you as a family to do that together as well. We would really appreciate that. And so that is when I'm thinking hey, here's how you can continue to help in this process. I'd say that is the number one thing. We will continue, though, to keep the application open. And so I also want to encourage you, if somebody comes to your mind, or if you feel like posting it online, to continue sharing about our job opening, because we'll keep that open. And if God has somebody from left field apply, we'll consider that. So please continue to share that. And then the third way that you can continue to participate, that we've been saying this whole time, is that if you're feeling like you have a big question or any anxiety or anything around that, to talk to your MC leaders or to email us or talk to Thomas and I, because we would just love to ease any kind of big questions you may have in your mind. Does that sound good? Yeah? Cool. Well, thank you guys again, just from Thomas and I and the whole search team, for how you have been engaging and praying for us and even just trusting us and the Lord's leadership in this. It means a lot. So, thank you.
It's good.
I just wanted to say I'm so, so thankful for Thomas and Hannah and the entire search team. It's a lot of work, but we're really blessed to have such wisdom and devotion in that team. A couple updates I was asked to give on behalf of the ministry board, sort of related to this process and changes happening in the next few months. We're all praying for the search team process, that the right person comes forward and we can move forward. None of us have any idea what the timing is going to be on that. And we don't want to rush. We don't want to make a decision because Dom's moving on to say we need to fill this day one. And so part of that process is having some support in the meantime. And so there's an actual ministry called Interim Pastoral Ministries that we've been engaged with through the CMA. They're not only a CMA organization, but they sort of are a broadly evangelical interim pastoral ministry group. And we've gone through the process of applying for an interim pastor. We don't have one yet, but the process is ongoing. We had 2 months lead time, so that process started a few weeks ago. And typically that means that they're able to fill those spots. And so they have people from all over the country who sort of, this is what they do. Oftentimes it's people who were in the lead role for years and then moved on for different reasons, and they come in time of transition. Sometimes those are easy transitions, sometimes those are hard transitions, so there's different skill sets. And so we all participated in the board and Dom and sort of what we're looking for that. And so you can be praying that person also comes forward soon, so that we know we can potentially have some overlap with Dom's transitioning out and with however long that process needs to be. One answer to prayer is part of our responsibility in that is to provide housing for that person. And so that means we'd have to find a place for them to live, usually a single family home, furnish it month to month indefinitely. And so when Dom and we were processing this a few weeks ago, we're like, man, we have a house right there. I'm backwards. Right there. Wouldn't it be great if we had that house, but you know, we don't want to kick people out and whatever. But one answer to prayer is those tenants have decided to move out on July 1st. And so that house will be available for our interim pastor as long as we need it. Yeah. That's the interim update. Couple other updates. July 28th, I think this is on everyone's radar screen, but July 28th is Dom's last Sunday as lead pastor. July 21st will be Dom's last message from the pulpit. And we decided on the 28th, let's just celebrate. Let's spend that day celebrating as a family. So that expression that day is going to be entirely a celebration together. Some of it will be up here, some will be downstairs. Thanks to the people who are volunteering to help plan that. Two specific asks for that day. One is, we're going to put together, I say we, Amber is doing the lead lion's share of the work, which is, you don't want it to be me, for a slideshow for that day. If you have, not if you have, please send photos of memories from, you know, from Dom's ministry over the last 10 years. This can be from the founding of Missio, this can be from last week, whatever. We'd love to have everyone represented in that slideshow. Please send those to Amber, who's going to be putting together that slideshow. That's the one thing. Second thing is that day, part of what we're called to do is celebrate the Khan family. And the main point of that day is going to be to celebrate. Oh, two other things about that day. One is we're not going to have Missio kids formally on that day. We're going to embrace the chaos and we're going to have the kids in here with us. And that's really so that all of the people who volunteer to support that ministry can be part of the celebration, right? So it's going to be loud. It's going to be chaotic. That's great. You know, we'll embrace it. And part of that day is going to be a sort of history of where this body is, where it's come over the last 10 to 15 years, and recognizing that this is not only a celebration of Dom moving on, but this is the last of the founders of this body who are moving on. And so there is sort of an identity, who we are, where we're going, all of that, that we'll be celebrating as well and praying over that day. Part of our job as a body, and particularly the CMA asks the ministry board to handle this, is we want to bless the Khan family both emotionally and spiritually, but also financially, because they're going to be going from two incomes to one income. Dom's going to be going back to school, which is amazing. But part of what we're asked to do what we'd like to do is show them a financial gift on that day. And so in your generosity, please consider a special separate gift beyond supporting the body towards the Khan family to support them during that time. There is a drop down now on the website. If you give through the website, however you give, you just earmark it Khan family gift and it'll be separate accounting wise to go to the Khan family. I think that's everything. So please come July 28th if you can. I know summers are crazy and not everyone's going to be there, and that is what it is, but we really want it to be a beautiful day as a family together, just to celebrate Dom and the whole family. So thank you so much.
Jay's got it up top. Thank you. Just a couple last things to wrap up. Pete, thank you so much for that. Hannah and Thomas, thank you as well. So thankful, yeah, for the search team and also for the ministry board. I want to wrap us up here this morning. Two things. For the 28th, we'll make sure the AC is on so that as it's hot and full, it'll be a little cooler than today. The other thing, I thank you. I didn't know necessarily that was taking place or being asked, and I'm grateful. I'm humbled by that. But I want to just invite us to think about a couple things in closing. We've talked a lot about, again, building a hope zone here together, and I just want to remind us of this, right? You go out there in the world and you hear the word hope, and we speak about it, and really, when you talk about hope in the world, it's really just kind of like a wish, right? It's like, I hope something, it's like I'm wishing something for you. And the strength of that hope is only as strong as that person's desire, right? And really then the things that they are willing to do to fulfill it. But when we talk about hope, we've got a totally different perspective from which we come. Biblical hope, it's a confident expectation of what God has promised. And the strength is in his faithfulness and what he has already done. And we can believe and have hope, gospel hope, that creates a hope zone where there's hope, there's help, there's healing, and a sense of home. Because it's not only about what God has done, but because of his faithfulness is what he's done, we can trust that what he says he's going to do, or what he has already done, is going to happen. Because the strength of that is not just, again, on my the strength of my desire and what I'm going to do about to fulfill it, but it's about God. It's about what he's already done. And what we see in the story of Scripture is that hope that we're called to is underwritten by the life, the death, the resurrection, the ascension, the present reign and rule of Jesus and his love. And so I want to close this morning just with reading this scripture. This is Paul talking about hope in another place in Romans. And he says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." I recognize and understand as I wrap up this family covenant celebration this year that stuff that we talk about going forward, I'm not leading in it. I acknowledge that, I know. There's hardship in that for me. There's hardship in that in different ways for you guys. But we have hope. And I just want to call us to still be in the midst of the transition, whether it's an interim that comes or if God provides pastor next lead right away, that we're called to hope. And God, I believe, has called this community to be a hope zone. We're called to be a place where people understand the hope of the gospel that is not grounded in the fickle and fleeting things of this world, but a hope that is grounded in the promises and the goodness of what God has done and what he will continue to do through his son, Jesus Christ. And so this is what I've been praying for us as a community. This is what I want to call us to, is that may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing in this process, in the middle of this journey, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope and we'd be able to share it with others, okay? Two questions, and I want you to think about. I always want to give us things to think about. In light of what we've talked about this morning, in light of what you heard, how is God calling you to be with him and to grow in Christ's likeness in this season? What does that look like for you in this season? And from that place of being with him and being like him, what's Jesus inviting you to do? Where and how in the being with him and growing like him, being a person of hope, where is he inviting you to do that? How is he calling you to do that? And then what's he calling you to do in response to that? And I invite you to consider, is that where is that and where is he inviting you to show up in the community and outside of the community and even in the stewardship of your finances and what he's entrusted to you? Okay, amen? So the worship team is going to lead us in one last closing song, and we'll continue just celebrating that way.